scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 40, verse 1 to 5, and verse 20 to 23. Genesis chapter 40, verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Verse 20. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
What do you do when your life has gone from bad to worse? What would you say when bad things happen to good people? As Christians, we all experience that we are not exempt from disasters, afflictions. So what happens when your life seems to be shattering? As Christians, we must at this moment consider the work of our God. Think of who He is. Just like the call of worship this early morning, it says we need to ponder the work of God. Try to understand His mysterious ways. See what God did in the past will encourage us that we can trust in Him, have faith in Him. So today we are going to take a case study, Joseph, to continue to see how God work in Joseph's life, and may this encourage our faith. Joseph was sold by his brothers as a slave to Egypt. And then, through no fault of his own, he is now thrown into prison on some false charges of attempted rape. The last chapter, chapter 39, while Joseph was there, Joseph prospered because the Lord was with him. Accordingly, the warden turned over more and more of the management to Joseph. We now learned in chapter 40, verse 1, it says, sometime later, two new people were added to the prison population. They are identified not by name, but by position. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker was had committed some offense towards Pharaoh and was thrown in the prison. In spite that we don't know their name, we are not to think these two people simply as kitchen staff. Because in the past, kings are often worried about people poisoning them. So cupbearers and bakers who attended the king's drinks and the food are indeed very influential and trusted people in the court. And then after some time passed, the two Egyptian officials each had a dream. The dreams were on the same night, but the contents worried them. Joseph noticed that they were disturbed and asked, "Why do you look so dejected?" They respond by telling Joseph that we have a dream, but then lament the fact that there's no dream interpreter. In ancient Egypt and Near East, dream interpreters are professionals who have access to some sacred commentary of dreams. So when people have strange dreams, they go to these interpreters and consult them. The interpreters would research of their material, the dream commentary, and then try to find out the meaning of the dreams and to suggest a response. Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretation belong to God? Dreams belongs to a different realm. Dreams is outside the power of even Pharaoh's authority." And Joseph encouraged them to tell him the dreams. So the cupbearer's dream centered on a grapevine, appropriate for his position in the court. This vine had three branches that produced grapes. In the dream, the cupbearer squeezed the grapes into Pharaoh's cup and served him wine. Joseph informed the cupbearer that his dream foretold his restoration to Pharaoh's good grace after 3 days. Joseph also used this opportunity to tell this soon-to-be-released Egyptian officials to speak to Pharaoh on his behalf about his imprisonment. He told the cupbearer that he was kidnapped to Egypt and then was, through no fault of his own, he was thrown into prison on some trauma charges. Next, the baker told his dream, but Joseph foretold this dream points to a totally disastrous result. The cupbearer will be killed in 3 days. It turned out that God's interpretation of the dream through Joseph proved exactly true. The narrator of Genesis says the heads of both the cupbearer and the baker were lifted up. For the cupbearer, that meant restoration to his position at the court, but for the baker, it meant beheading and impalement. Thus, Joseph demonstrated that he is a divine authorized dream interpreter. But the story goes on that once again, Joseph is treated poorly as the cupbearer forgets about him and did not advocate for Joseph as for as requested. So, this is the story. What will you do if you are Joseph? Every day you expect maybe some intervention. Someone sent from the Pharaoh's court to maybe bail you out of jail. But every day, nobody. Day after day after day. For 1 year. And then the second year, what would you do? Well, the next chapter, chapter 41, started off like that. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. That is the turning point. After the cupbearer was released, for 2 full years, Joseph continued to suffer in the prison for 2 full years. And in retrospect, the closing of the prison doors is designed by the Lord to open the palace door, but only in God's timing. And Joseph must remain loyal to God, not knowing the future of his own existence. At the beginning of the sermon, I asked 2 questions. What would you do when your life turned from bad to worse? And how you feel when you see bad things happen to good people? My answer at that time was, we must consider the work of God. We must use what God did in the past to strengthen our faith. What God did in the past was recorded, revealed to us through the scripture and through what God's work in the past, we try to understand his mysterious work. Joseph is a typical case, telling us that God oversees our adversities, our affliction. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 13 says, consider what God has done. Who can strengthen what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider. God made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. We need to consider what God has done in Joseph's life. And then use this example to encourage our trust. Reverend Metz talked about we need a revival for our nation. You cannot watch news for very long before you realize our world today is in a political and social mess. It's chaos out there. And all that unrest fuels fear, uncertainties, and ultimately affects our personal lives. It is easy for us to wring our hands and shrink back in fear. But the Bible declares that the Lord raised up nations and set them down. He has a plan for the ages. It is unscheduled to the mini second. There are wars and atrocities in every corner of the world. Rumors of wars around, but in light of the promise of the Word of God, you and I need to calm down. And we need to find peace by knowing what He has done in the past, acknowledging who God is, and this is what it means to consider the work of God. So how do I know God has a good plan for my suffering? Maybe it's suffering for no purpose. Romans 8, it says, God, He, the Father, who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Here the scripture encourages us, if we think that, how do we know God will guide us, lead us, protect us? The scripture says, Apostle Paul says, if God, even His own precious Son, did not spare, this is a proof that He will graciously give us all things along with the best, that is His Son Jesus. So that means when we are in the midst of suffering, when we are in doubt, does God care in our suffering? Just look at the cross. Look at the cross. If God did not spare His own Son, is there anything that God will withhold from us? Perhaps some of you think that, well, it's Joseph. Joseph an important guy. You know, he is the one who is part of the salvation history. I am not Joseph. I'm just a nobody. Would God care? Well, Jesus in Matthew 10, verse 29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So Jesus says, God cares about you. You see, sparrows, very insignificant, yet whether sparrow live or die has to pass under the control of our Heavenly Father. You are much more than sparrows. And God, Jesus used this almost humorous example, exaggeration, even your number of hairs, so insignificant, are numbered. For me, it's easier to count, but for Michael, maybe it's more difficult. But doesn't matter. The idea is God, even insignificant things, Jesus said, God cares. So trust in Him. Jesus taught us to call our Father, our God, as Heavenly Father. That means that our God cares about us. So on one hand, God has a great salvation plan for the whole universe. When we consider His work, God has a great plan. The universe is under His control. But also, God have a plan individual plan for you and me. A plan not to harm us, but a plan to prosper us. So let us continue to trust in him, just as Joseph did, and use this example to encourage us that God cares for us. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are in control of the universe, but we also thank you that you care for every one of us. Our Lord Jesus, he says, even the lilies in the field, even the grass that come out in the morning and wither at night, God, you even take care of them. So help us to trust in you because of your infinite love for us. Help us to consider your work. Ponder at your great works. Ponder at your mighty power and your goodness and your faithfulness. And continue to live a life of faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.